Thanks, Eileen. Thank you very much. That's
it's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Wash your hands.
Two clicks and we're away. Good afternoon on this Friday afternoon. That's great news, isn't it? The weather. And it's supposed to be here with us until Tuesday. Yay! Get out the barbecue. Half cook the sausages. Get food poisoning. And I'm joking. How are you on this Friday afternoon? We've a jam-packed programme today. Siobhan McSweeney, her being the Derry girl, is our London correspondent today. So she got her second jab earlier in the week. And she'll be talking to us from the streets of London. After 4 o'clock, Eva Whittaker and Sean Bean, who are stars of Wolf Walkers, which is up for an Oscar this weekend, will be talking to us. Looking forward to that. And I'm really looking forward to this. Actually, I'm looking forward to all our chats today. But Charlie Mackesy, author of The Boy, The Mole, The Fox and The Horse, is going to be talking to us. Seemingly he's never done an interview in Ireland before. You'll know the book, even if you haven't got it in the house, you'll know it from being in a bookshop, any shop, in fact. There's the sketch of half a horse and the little boy and the mole and the fox. And it's just the most beautiful book I've ever read. The illustrations, stroke paintings and the message. It's like he read all those self-help books, and I know he didn't. This is all just from personal experience, but he condensed it. He distilled it down to the essence of what it is to be human and how we all feel and the problems we all share and how we should behave. And it's in this book, The Boy, The Mole, The Fox and The Horse. I'll just play a little clip from the audiobook just to set you up for it. So in this, the boy has met the mole and they've climbed up onto a branch of a tree and they're just looking out into the middle distance and they're having a little chat.
"Do you have a favourite saying?" asked the boy. "Yes," said the mole. "What is it?" "If at first you don't succeed, have some cake," said the mole. "I see," said the boy. "Does it work?" "Every time," said the mole.
Yeah, Charlie Mackesy there, doing the voice over on his own book, The Boy, The Mole, The Fox and The Horse. And we'll be talking to Charlie very shortly. Yesterday on the show, we spoke to Paula Murphy, Emeritus Professor. It's easier to say it now today than it was yesterday. And we were talking about sculptures and statues, and particularly portrait statues, and the lack of women, Irish women, represented in portrait statues around the country. And Lee Mellow's name came up because Paula was saying that there are two statues and of Lee Mellow's around the country and she couldn't think of where they are. So I did a bit of research last night. Lee Mellow's, people who were in that day for the history lesson will know that he was part of the Irish Republican Brotherhood, the IRB, and the Irish Volunteers. He was a big figure during the 1916 Rising. He was director of supplies during the War of Independence, and he was elected as a Sinn Féin TD to the First All in 1918. But he was executed on the 8th of December 1922 after he was arrested and imprisoned following the capture of the anti-treaty Four Courts garrison. And there are two statues commemorating Lee Mellows. One is in Eyre Square in Galway and the other is in Finglas. The Finglas one was only unveiled in 2019. And what Paula was making the point that, you know, you've two statues for these people and some of the main women in our history aren't represented at all. So that's there. You can listen back if you want to via podcast, the RTE website. Kevin has been on immediately to 51551. "I can't believe you recommended Palm Springs. We watched it after your recommendation and we were and are still amazed at how bad it was," says Kevin. I tell you what, Kevin, I'm giving up recommending things because there's so much out there. And people are so different. And it's not just about personal taste. It's about mood as well. You know, if you watch a certain thing and you're in a certain mood, you might like it. Another day, you mightn't like it. So I'm not going to recommend anything anymore. I'm not going to tell you that Frank of Ireland is brilliant because you'll probably watch and you won't like it. But for anybody who's listening, Frank of Ireland is brilliant. It's the best Irish comedy I've seen since Father Ted. Oh, that's a big one. That's a big claim, isn't it? That's a big claim. Kevin's going to be on to me next week on "I can't believe you made me watch Frank of Ireland." You know the story. It's Breen Gleeson and Donald Gleeson, written by the two lads and a guy called Michael Maloney. And it's up there on Channel 4. You can watch all six episodes. And it's a star-studded cast of the great of Irish acting. Tom Vaughan Lawler is there. Pat Short is there. The two lads, obviously, themselves. And loads of other people you'll recognise. And it's brilliantly acted, very funny. The slapstick in it is genius. It's very hard to get that right. And if you don't like slapstick, don't go near it. But anyway, that's there. As I say, I'm not recommending it. I'm just telling you it's on. Fair enough. Now, Fridays back in the day, we used to love going down to Studio 10 because we surrounded ourselves with entertainment people and funny people and musical people. And it always felt like it was the beginning of the weekend. Once 3 o'clock hit, and we sometimes start off with a song at the beginning, and the people would hang around and then they'd interact with the other guests. And we've seen it through rose-tinted glasses. No, I'm not. That's the way it was. It was sort of a parlour-type feel that we had over in Studio 10. It's a bigger studio than here. And of course, when the lockdown hit, there was none of that. You can't be having people in to be singing, and you can't be having people in chatting to each other. That's not going to work with the restrictions. Anyway, we've been scratching our heads and trying to see how we could bring you some live music, because the recorded stuff is fine, but it's just not the same. So we think, fingers crossed, we've worked out something. So we can now go live somewhere on the Carlo, Leash, Offaly, Kildare, somewhere in Leinster, and say hello to Jack L. Hello, Jack L.
Hi, Ray. Can you hear me?
I can, yes.
Wow. Hallelujah.
Now, that's the easy bit. The easy bit is talking, because we do that every day with people. What we're going to get around to very quickly is the singing. How are you?
I'm very good. I've just been keeping busy. I've been doing the live stream shows and so just doing maybe every other week kind of, and just doing my own stuff and other artists. So I've just been learning songs, keeping my head busy.
Yeah.
I learned how to use, you know, film and all that kind of stuff, and I made a little short movie. And yeah, just
tell us a bit about the movie. It was dedicated to your grandfather.
Well, it's actually kind of a duet with my grandfather, Jack Keogh,
right,
who was born in 1915 and died in 1994. But he left behind a lovely memoir of drawings and musings and poems and, you know, just the history of the town of Athy and his life. So I kind of incorporated it into the movie, and it's kind of an ambient movie that uses that AMSR, Audio Meridian Sensory Response, I think it's called.
Yes.
It's a kind of whispering, and that's, it's very and gentle.
So you voice it, yeah, Jack?
I did everything pretty much so, yeah, with a lot of help from other people technologically and all that.
Yeah.
But it was fun, you know. I just tried to use this time to enhance what I could do basically online, and build the old following online, because that's where we're living at the moment.
And how has that been for you?
I've really enjoyed it, I have to say. I mean, I know a lot of people maybe aren't into the online gigs, but if the first lockdown came, I was getting ready to do a big tour in the UK, and I was ready to take off, kind of. So when I kind of just kept going, and I just started playing online.
Mm.
And then it's become like this really lovely social thing that happens on a Saturday night where everybody meets up at 8 o'clock. The next one is on May the 1st, by the way, on Facebook Live. And, you know, it's not obviously not like a real gig, but it is a real gig. But the fact that you can talk to people in between, send out requests and, you know, see what people are thinking and where they are. And there's people from all over the world. So it's absolutely mind blowing, to tell you the truth. So I've just been trying to, you know, get used
and
to that.
And isn't the brilliant thing, Jack, that, you know, sort of perversely in a way, you've a bigger audience, because anybody in the world can.
Yeah, well, you open yourself up to. When I did the first one, it's very odd because you have the silence in between, and you know, all my technology's got better now. I have studio quality sound,
right,
and a better picture and all that kind of stuff. But after the first one I did, it was kind of like, God, that was weird when I finished it. But then when I looked at all the people's, you know, people I hadn't seen in years or places that I played years ago, it was so amazing that so many people were tuning in. And the fact that people love that old campfire thing of everybody experiencing something at the one time.
Yes, that's it.
It's as old as the campfire.
Yeah, that's it. We're social animals, and we want to be part of something, part of a community.
Yeah, so there's a good social scene going on Saturday nights at 8 o'clock on Facebook Live on my Facebook.
Okay, well, here's the review. So delighted to hear you have Jack L on today. Can you thank him for his brilliant concerts on Saturday night during lockdown? Brilliant, from a very grateful, cocooned person. First injection yesterday, so happy, out today. Thanks, Ray, and thanks, Jack. So there you go.
Lovely to hear.
So we're sort of going to call this, because we don't want to, you know, blow its trumpet too much, but we're going to call it the kitchen session. So that's mm-hmm. the, and yeah, you don't live, well, you don't have to be in your kitchen, but what room in the house are you in?
I am in the kitchen. You're in and the kitchen, right? I'm looking out the window and I can see the Wicklow Mountains and the yellow fields are coming out, all the rapeseed is coming out, right. And it's absolutely beautiful. And then in front of that, I can see the dishes in the sink. It's chores to do. And then I look closer and I can see the grass needs to be cut. So right. Lots going on.
Jack L, keeping it real. Okay, oh, yeah. What are you going to sing absolutely. For us?
Well, here's one that I've enjoyed singing. It's a Bob Dylan song. It's called Forever Young. May God bless and keep you always. May your wishes all come true. May you always do for others and let others do for you. May you build a ladder to the stars and climb on every rung. May you stay forever young. May you grow up to be righteous, may you grow up to be true, may you always know the truth and see the light surrounding you. May you always be courageous, stand upright and be strong, and may you stay forever young. Always be busy. May your feet always be swift. May you have a strong foundation when the winds of change shift. May your heart always be joyful. May your song always be sung. May you stay forever.
Nice. That was lovely. That was lovely. Are the neighbours looking in or?
No, they're far away.
Are they? What count are you in, Jack?
Well, I'm stepping between the border. I'm in Laois, but I can see Kildare and I can see Carlow, and I'm close to Kilkenny. I'm up in a thing called the Cormor Plateau, which is a high point of land that runs across the edge of Laois. Into Carlow, so it's a beautiful view, you know, it's up high and it gets snow when nobody else gets snow and all those kind of things, but I enjoy the elements. I enjoy the challenge.
Will you sing us another one before the end of the show?
Absolutely.
I'm doing the maths here, right? So about you've about an hour, maybe an hour and 5 minutes to get the dishes done and the grass done.
Okay, I'll get Hoovering done as well.
Wait till we see. Mary Cullen's been on. Delighted to have Jack L on. His online shows are amazing. Amazing artist, such a wonderful, unique voice. Cannot wait for return of concerts in Navan and Virginia. Bring it on. Such a great live performer. Thanks, Jack. That's Miriam and Mead. That song, making me teary here, Ray. Beautiful. Thanks for reminding me that Jack L has such a perfect voice. And could you ask Jack L to sing Georgie Boy before the end of the show? What a voice. Jack is beautiful. There you go.
I'm feeling good about myself. Thanks very much.
I'm feeling a bit goosebumpy, I have to say. Just to have live music, it's just so special.
It really is.
And I know the recorded thing's there and everything, and you can record it and play it back, and you can record it live and play it back. But to actually talk to you and say, sing us a song from your kitchen, and for it to all work and people to hear it, it's just, there's something magical about it. Maybe our standards have gone very low.
the real time experience is what it's all about.
Yeah, great. This is brilliant. Thanks so much, Jack L. It's feckin' fantastic. Live and on the radio. That's Nora says there. Okay. Jack, we'll talk to you in about an hour's time.
Absolutely brilliant. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Jack L. there. And now I better tell you about this. Yippee! Yeah, it's our quiz of today. Today is the 23rd of April, and we're looking for two people to come on and answer five questions each on events that happened on this day over the years, decades, centuries. You know the deal. Big news stories, major scientific breakthroughs, TV shows, movies, hit songs, etc., etc. And we have a prize. It's a luxurious two-night break in the Heritage. The Heritage is set in the heart of the countryside in the pretty village of Killinard, not too far from where Jack L is. Just over an hour's drive from Dublin, enjoy on-site activities like golf, tennis, country walks, or visit the leisure centre or award-winning spa. You can find out more at theheritage.com. So if you want to be involved and be with a chance of winning that prize on our quiz of today, you have to answer our qualifying question, which is this. Can you name the current Taoiseach and Minister for Enterprise, Trade and Employment? Can you name the current Taoiseach and Minister for Enterprise, Trade and Employment? 1850 715 900. That's 1850 715 900. And we could be talking to you after 4 o'clock.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, 5 on 5 5 on ray@rte.ie. I was sad to hear the news that Bayside Rollers singer Les McKeown has died at the age of 65. We've interviewed him in the past and we've discussed him with our next guest, Phil Coulter. How are you doing, Phil?
Good to talk to you, Ray. I'm fine, thank you.
You probably never thought you'd outlive Les, did you?
Certainly not.
No.
Certainly not. No, I mean, I was really shocked when I heard that because, well, the last time I saw Les, of all of the rollers, he's the one that kept in touch with me down through all of the years. And the summer before last, he was playing in the Leopardstown Festival here in town, and he asked me to join him on stage for a version of Shang-a-Lang, which was a real blast from the past. I really enjoyed it, and we had a ball just catching up on a lot of our memories, a lot of adventures. He was then full of energy, Ray. He was full of plans. He was touring after his visit here to Ireland. He was off to Japan for a tour, followed by a tour in America and Canada. So he was busy, and nothing he enjoyed more than being on stage.
And you obviously got on really well with him. You met him when he was 19.
Here was a story. In about 1973, Ray, I was called into a meeting in Bell Records to talk about this band, the Bay City Rollers. They'd had a minor hit a couple of years previously, and then three or four flops. So the boss man of the record label just thought it was time for a change, and one of the changes was to ask myself and Bill Martin to write their songs and produce their records. And one of the most significant changes was the drafting in of Les McKeown. He made all the difference. I mean, he was a game changer. Apart from his voice, he had just a great spark, Ray.
Yeah,
great spark,
yeah.
Great energy. Well, you know yourself, you've spoken to him. Great energy and great confidence for a kid of that age. And
a looker as well, because they were a boy band, weren't they? They sold over 100 million records, and they were being compared to the Beatles back in the 70s.
Well, Roller Mania was the next biggest phenomenon. And indeed, you know, it has been argued that the Bay City Rollers were the archetypal boy band. They kind of set the template. They were the kind of One Direction of their day, of course.
Yeah. Will we play a bit of Shang and Lang?
Absolutely.
Yeah, here we go.
Shang and Lang. Shang and Lang.
It'll make you smile, Phil. I know it's a sad day, but
I have a confession to make. This is a world exclusive. In true Alfred Hitchcock fashion, that very high voice at the end is me. Yeah, I was determined to get my nose in there somewhere. Yeah, Shang-a-Lang was the archetypal Bay City Roller song. I mean, even Les would have said that defines the sound of the Bay City Roller.
Yeah, happy. Anthemy, sing-alongy.
All of the above. It was like three-chord magic. It was like, you know, garage band sort of stuff. But we had Remember, we had Shang-a-Lang, Summer Love Sensation,
Saturday
All
Night.
Of Me Loves All of You. And then Saturday Night was the huge one. I mean, that was a number one single, and then their album, Rollin', was number one in the States. And that's, when you hit number one in the States, you're really doing business. That kind of launched them globally. There was a sea of tartan, Ray, that ran from the Far East to South America, you know. They were a major, major global band, no doubt about that. And for my money, Les McKeown was the linchpin. He held it all together. He drove it. He was the born front man. And for me, he was the secret ingredient, no doubt about that. Yeah. I'd say it's an odd mix of emotion for people who were fans of Bay City Rollers back in the day. Probably delighted to hear the songs back on the radio, but confronted by their own mortality in a way, you know. Indeed. Yeah. None of us enjoy that, but I mean, for sure, there are legions, I mean millions, tens of millions of 60-year-old ladies who will be in deep mourning at the death of Les, because for so many, you know, the sound of Les McKeown and the Bay City Rollers was a soundtrack to their teenage years. They were much more than a band, you know. It was like, with all the, you know, you'll remember with all the tartan,
the whole
cult, really.
They put Scotland on the map, in the pop world map. Phil, thanks so much for sharing your memories of the late Les McKeown. You say McKeown.
McKeown, yeah. In Ireland, we pronounce it as McKeown, but he pronounced it as McKeown. But he's no longer with us, sadly.
And listen, we've developed a thing. I don't know if you heard Jack L there. So we've a little system, right, that we could send out to your house, and you could set it up with your piano and sing us a few songs one of the days. Would you be up for that?
No better man.
It's a date, right?
No better man.
For the moment. Thanks very much, Phil.
Okay,
mind yourself.
Always
see you now.
Pleasure. God
bless
you.
Now. Bye, 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 bye. Bay City Rollers and Bye Bye Baby, and we say goodbye to Les McKeown, and may he rest in peace.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
51551, ray@rte.ie. Now, we got news during the week that The Boy, The Mole, The Fox and The Horse by Charlie Mackesy has topped sales of 100,000 in Ireland. Which is huge sales for a book. So we decided we have to get that man on the phone and have a chat with him. So Charlie Mackesy is on the line. How are you doing, Charlie?
All right, how are you?
Good. I adore your book. I just adore it.
Thank you.
So for people just who haven't seen it, who haven't read it, who don't have a copy in their house, how would you describe it? Because it's genre bending, isn't it?
Genre bending, yeah, maybe. I mean, yeah, I suppose it is. It's just, well, it's like half drawings, half writing. You know, it's all. It's a graphic novel, but novel's a bit of an impressive word for it. I mean, I wouldn't call it a novel. It's really, so it's a lot of drawings and some words.
Yeah, well, you're underselling it now, Charlie, in a big way. it's the most beautiful self-help book that I've ever. witnessed, and I've read an awful lot of them. I've read an awful lot of them for work, not for me, but for work.
Come on.
Yeah. So will you explain to our listeners then the genesis of the whole thing?
Well, it's hard really to explain it because I'm not really completely sure how it happened, but it began in a barn where I work, and just, you know, I've been an artist for a long time, but I started just doing these drawings of a boy and a fox and a boy and a moth. There's just these three characters this boy talks to, and he asks them important questions, or questions that I've always had. And then I just started these conversations and then would put them on Instagram. And I had a bit of an intense conversation with a friend about what courage was, and he's really brave. And I've never been that brave about, you know, climbing mountains. But I think one of the bravest things you could ever do is actually really just say help when things were difficult.
Yeah.
As a man. And so I did the drawing, and I drew the boy saying to the horse, "What's the bravest thing you've ever said?" And the horse said, "Help." And I put that on Instagram, and then, you know, I just kind of forgot about it, and then was really shocked a few hours later to see the reaction. And then I got emails from people, the army, for instance, and various people in PTSD clinics in Australia and whatever, saying, "Can we use the drawing?" I'd be like, "Of course you can, you know, that's what they're for." But I never thought really that it would ever be a book. I just thought I would do these little drawings that might make people feel a bit better, you know, or give them courage or... You know, it was not really, I never really dreamt I'd be on Irish radio talking to someone about it. You know, it is so far from where I was. Yeah. I'm just a scruffy bloke with a dog in a barn. You
know? Yeah, again, underselling yourself, Charlie.
No, it's true. It's actually true.
I suppose not to get too deep too fast, but your vulnerability as a human being shines through the whole book.
Okay.
Yeah, and your fragility, you know, and it's a beautiful fragility. And
thank you.
But I don't think if you weren't that you could have made this thing. Do you know what I mean?
I think being human isn't that easy. And I think we're all pretty fragile and underneath it, quite vulnerable and all those things. And I think being able to chat about them, be honest about them, is a way that can actually connect us, really.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, really what we want anyway. So I just sort of started drawing all that stuff out and seeing how people felt about it. But that's lovely you said that. That's, thank you. I mean...
And then...
Go on.
So it started on social media, as a lot of things do these days. And then you said, well, sure, I'll do an exhibition.
Exactly. Yeah. I just said it on... Because I've been with galleries and stuff, and I just thought, well, you know, I'll just... do it on my own and just rent a big room, a big gallery room that I rented, and just put it on Instagram saying, "By the way, if you're interested," and you may well not be, but I'm going to just hang some of these drawings off and see what happens. And it was quite shocking, really, the number of people that sort of turned up. It was thousands of them, and it was overwhelming, and I really wasn't expecting it. And a friend was helping me, and we sometimes couldn't get in the door. And, you know, we had these chats with people till late in the night because they stayed on. And, you know, a lot of them were grown men who were in tears about their journeys in life and how just these little drawings had been part of their, you know.
Yeah.
It was really shocking, right? And then, you know, at that exhibition, there just happened to be a publisher who she'd come along because she'd been following me and said, "Do you want to do a book?" And I said, "Do you think I could? I'm not sure if it would make a book, would it?" You know, all these things. So that's how it started, anyway.
Yeah. There's an Irish connection in that, like, back a few generations, your people were from Wicklow, was it?
Yeah, Wicklow and Waterford, yeah. Yeah, the Maxis, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, my dad's side.
And there's a more direct current connection with the book in that the man who put it together, literally put it together, is who?
Colm Roach, he lives in Cork, actually. He's and, you know, the lovely thing about this book is, you know, because being an artist, you spend a lot of your life alone, and it's brought me in from the cold. And I work with Colm, and we've become really close, really good friends because of it, because we just journey. He would come around to the house and, you know, just sit there, and I'd say, "What about this drawing?" Because, to be honest with you, the book is like, it's not that, there aren't that, I don't know how many drawings there are in it, but there's maybe 10, 12,000 drawings.
Right.
In the studio, so we had to sift through them and eliminate the ones that weren't right, and then some of them had coffee stains on them, so we had to clean them up. And you know, he's a legend because he would help me do that. And
there is a coffee cup stain on one of them still.
There is one.
Yes, there is.
I left that one.
Yeah, my dog walked on over the drawing, clearly trying to make the point. The point being, the greatest illusion, said the mole, is that life should be perfect.
Yes, it is. It's an illusion. Yeah.
So let's go through some of the things, because they're so, I don't know, they cut to the core of things. Like, we had a long chat up in the office a few weeks ago before we even knew we were doing some other book. I think it was about the science of happiness.
Okay.
And the whole topic of comparing ourselves to others came up.
And isn't it?
Yes. Here's a little exchange between the boy and the mole. What do you think is the biggest waste of time? Comparing yourself to others, said the mole. But we're hardwired for it, Charlie. Are we?
I think we are. We are, and we're also very hard on ourselves when it comes to that, you know.
Yeah.
And I've done it all. I think I wrote that because, you know, it's one of the things I've struggled with, because, you know, friends of mine just, you know, I would think, God, look at me. I'm just, you know.
Go on.
A grubby fingernail scuffling around in the bushes, basically, you know, just this slightly rural bloke, not really getting it together, and everyone's sort of streaming on ahead. And I think, oh man, you know, how am I going to ever achieve what they have? And it would get me down. And then one day I just thought, well, what's the point of this? Why not just forget whatever, you know, celebrate them, but don't compare yourself, and just accept yourself exactly where you are in your skin at this moment. And it's good, and you're okay. And love yourself right there, and see success not as material things, but as relational things. So if you have friends, then that's the greatest success you could ever have. And, you know, kids or a wife, whatever it is, those are the things. And don't compare yourself, even on that level, actually. That's, again, a waste of time. So, anyway.
The next page, I wonder if there's a school of unlearning.
Yeah, right.
Because it's not that thing, you know, we learn hate, you know. We're not born with hate, for example.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. And we learn prejudices.
Yeah, we do. We learn them. We listen and we learn, and we develop these strange ideas over time, don't we? And to unlearn them is a good thing. And we sort of learn things about ourselves through things that are sometimes are said to us that we need to unlearn.
Yeah.
And there's so much, to unlearn, I think.
Is that friend that you alluded to earlier in our conversation, the very brave friend, is that Bear Grylls?
Ah, the lovely Bear, yeah. Yes. I mean, I've known him for years and years and years and years.
I wouldn't have put the two of you together.
No, we're unlikely friends, but I think they're often the best.
And did you go to college together or what?
I just met him through friends, really. And we just got chatting, and I think we both found each other quite... Well, I think he found me ridiculous. But we got on really well, and always have been good friends. But yeah, you're right. I mean, he's a sort of adventure explorer, and I'm, you know...
Well, your impact on people and these drawings. And, tell us, I know you're I'll have to actually... make the questions, because you're not going to offer up stuff. You said about armies and PTSD, but during the lockdown, the book came into its own, didn't it? Mm-hmm. And your Instagram account came into its own, and people in the NHS working on the front line were putting up posters in nurses' stations, etc. All over
they
the
were.
Place. Yeah. How does that make you feel?
It's hard to describe, really, because it just makes me feel very moved, and I feel a sense of privilege and gratitude, and I get overwhelmed, because you could just make marks and write a few words on pages, and they'd end up in an ICU unit, or, you know, in a place where nurses have their cup of tea and they're struggling, or in wards where the COVID wards, they had them stuck on the walls, or... You know, and then I'll get letters from people who said that in the school that when it was shut down, that one headmaster had blown them up sort of 4 foot square and stuck them on the windows facing out so the kids would see them. And, you know, anything like that, I just found really moving. And actually, I got a letter recently from a nurse who said that everybody in her ward had had COVID, and they're all off except her. And she was really, really struggling and said that she was considering not being alive anymore. But she just kept the messages of the book in with her next to her in her bag. And she just wrote to me to say, you know, well, she told me that.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, I just my eyes well up really. If you can help someone, I mean, they're heroic, aren't they?
So yes.
If you can help someone in that situation, then I'll always.
Brilliant. Yeah.
You know, but it's not something, Ray, that I ever designed or would ever thought would ever happen. You know, it's like, but you, I'm not sure how it happened.
But you've been, there's an honesty. That's it. You know, and you see, when I read it first, I thought, oh, this guy has been swatting up on the self-help books. And then I read it again and I realized that this has come from a rawness. This has come from a living of a life, a certain type of life. Is that right, or am I just making that up?
No, well, to be honest with you, life is pretty raw. And I lost my best friend when I was 18.
Right.
And then I lost a series of friends in various ways. A couple of them took their lives or whatever. And, you know, so I think it's just been one of those lives where you have to face painful things a lot. Mm. And what do you do with that? And where do you go with that? And how do you communicate that? How do you open up about that? What's the healthiest way of getting through this? And what's the most hopeful thing you can do for yourself and other, you know, et cetera. And there's not really any time to pretend. I think I always feel like, you know, life's too short just to lie.
Yeah.
And life's hard enough without trying to be someone else.
Yeah.
So just tell the truth. And it's really courageous to tell the truth of who you are, whatever you feel. And I think sometimes we worry that will distance us from people, but actually it does the opposite. And I think, you know, the braver we are with how we feel and how we see the world and how we see ourselves, you know, the better it gets in terms of our connection with each other. But it took me a long time to really discover that, you know.
Do you mind me asking what age you are, Charlie?
Oh, gosh, yeah, I'm in my 50s.
Like, right, okay. Okay.
I'm old now.
No, that's not old, because I'm in my 50s.
I think I'm either 58 or 59. I think I'm 59.
He doesn't know what age he is.
I really know. And sometimes, you know, when you kind of ignore it. When you get to this level, you think, oh, it's not important or interesting. I've lived a while. I don't know how I've managed to get this far.
We're all thankful that you have, because you produced this book. But the boy, the mole, the fox and the horse, and you say that they're all aspects of one person, you know, they're all represent various personality traits or strengths or weaknesses of us all.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I realised that afterwards, or certainly not, I didn't at the outset go, right, let's just summarize the different parts of me with a mole and a fox but they definitely are the bits of me and us, you know. So for instance, the fox is the hurt bit, the damaged bit, the part of us that struggles to trust and keeps a distance, and the mole is the insatiable one that leaps to cake when things are difficult, and the boy is the inquisitive one with the questions, and then there's the horse who's like the soul, you know, the depth, the gentle.
Yeah.
A bit of the deepest part of us, I think.
Fiona was on as well. He has such an infectious laugh. How old is he? And is he single?
I'm single.
I love our listeners. A good while ago,
you know, lovely things that when I discovered a year or so ago, you know, on Instagram, I discovered that like a large swathe of the followers on Instagram are in Dublin.
All right. And yes.
I loved that. I couldn't get as really. So thank you.
What's the piece of music at the end on the inside cover at the back?
Yeah, well, that was an accident again. To be honest with you, I really love how it looks, music sheets look. Just I like drawing. I've always liked drawing and then writing music, even though I'm not really, you know, whatever. So that was a mistake, but it's by Schumann, and it's just that it's like a little march.
Uh-huh.
But funnily enough, it really works. Colin and I listened to it, and friends have played it on the piano, and it's pretty sweet sound. Really.
Okay.
It goes da 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 da. Like that. It's a simple little tune, you know.
But positive and forceful.
Very, very, very. Yeah, it's like a little
Going forward. We're going forward.
Is it skipping? Yes, exactly. Let's get through this together.
Yes.
Which is fortunate, really.
Now, finally, before we let you go, is this hindsight? But you had a sense that you had to get the book out, as if there was something on the way that might stop you getting it out.
I just remember saying to Colm in that year, you know, gosh, this is a struggle, isn't it? But we have to do this, and it's important that we're doing this. And he sort of felt that I could, when you have a sort of strange feeling that something's, that you just have to get it done.
Yeah.
And I didn't quite know why. And, you know, we just really wanted to make something. I mean, sales of the book were not the thing for me, never were. It's just, we wanted to make something that, you know, might help people.
You won't be overwhelmed now with the 1.4 million sales worldwide, will you?
It's just odd. It's one of those things that just, it's a surprise, but it's not really where, for me, the success of it lies. Right. So I'm grateful to that.
It might solve the drafts in the shed.
It could do.
Yeah. I recently bought copies of Charlie's book for my two adult children. They love it. I think I need to buy another one for myself. And our first grandchild is due later this year. The first gift I bought for him, her, is that book for the nursery shelf. It's just beautiful, says Fiona in Sligo.
Thanks, Fiona.
And a good while ago, I discovered an IG account where an artist would share his beautiful illustrations. He mentioned that he was going to put together a book, and we all supported the idea hugely. That wonderful man is Charlie Mackesy. There you go.
But who wrote that? That's
Hilda McAvoy is her name.
Hilda.
Yeah, so you know Hilda. There you go.
I don't, but...
Oh, you're right, you don't. You know her now. I had a mad notion, because we had a man on earlier in the week talking about meditation and mindfulness. And and because your book is sort of consumable, if that's the right word, in 20 minutes or so, or less than 20 minutes,
that
could be, like, if I might, I'm thinking about maybe just reading your book every day. Just as
that'd be lovely.
Because I'm rubbish at doing the concentrating on your breath thing and all that.
I'm terrible at that.
Yeah.
You know?
So I need something.
I'm bad at reading books, and I struggle to read whole books. It's just, I think I've got attention deficit or something.
Right.
But So if you want to read it, I'd love that.
Oh, here's there's a date in sight on here. So another person's on. Tell that woman to look up Charlie. He's Q2. That's advice for Fiona, who was asking if you were single. Right. The boy, the mole, the fox and the horse. It's still out there. Congratulations on topping 100,000 sales in Ireland. And it was a real pleasure talking to you, Charlie. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Ray. And thank you, Ireland. Okay.
Bye now. No. See you. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
God, we're surrounded by such lovely people today, and our next guest is no exception. The last time we spoke to Siobhan McSweeney was just before the Great Pottery Throwdown started. Since then, Siobhan has done a play to a virtual audience, headed back to London, and this week got her second dose of her vaccination against COVID. She's taken a break from her coffee and cake this afternoon to chat to us live from London. Come in, Siobhan McSweeney.
Hello, Ray. Greetings from London. London calling.
Where exactly are you, Siobhan McSweeney?
I am sitting by the canal in East London with the remnants of tea and cake, but a brand new pint in the sunshine.
And are there people around you, and are they laughing and joking and having great crack?
They are having the best time ever. I'm slightly lying. I've had to come away from all the crack because it was very loud.
Yeah.
People having too much fun. And I didn't want to make the nation of Ireland hate me more than they already do.
Well, they do. You've just said you've had, you know, tea and cake, and now you have a pint by the canal in the sunshine in London. Doing all the things that we want to do. So let's talk about the vaccination first. So talk us through that.
Well, I suppose the only reason I could do any of this, because if you know that I was on the extremely, well, I suppose technically still on the extremely clinically vulnerable list because of my asthma. So I was on the list for people to get vaccinated quite early on. So last week I got my second jab. And since then, you haven't been able to keep me in the house. I have been running around the place, licking lampposts, hugging strangers. Crawling on my hands and knees, everything. I'm just so delighted to be able to leave the house without worrying.
Oh, you're giving us a glimpse of the future. Maybe not licking the lamppost, but everything else.
I, I'm the brave soldier who goes out there first to see what it's like for everyone. Yeah. I can assure you it's lovely.
But here's the thing, the mention of the brave soldier, because it's been so long. I had this chat with somebody the other day about maybe it'll be odd for people, you know, going back into, you know, a situation like you're in now where there are people around and having the crack and having fun and laughing and people you don't know.
I know. I was expecting it to be a little bit overwhelming, and it is slightly. It is slightly. Like, I must have this, meeting up with the gang of friends that I'm here with. We call each other, we're part of a bike gang.
Right.
And we go very slowly and nervously on the footpath around London. And
nice.
We shout bike gang at each other every so often.
Right.
But when we have chats, like, there's still that sort of, we're halting slightly because we still don't know how to talk to each other in big groups.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're all talking at once or we're not talking at all. So there is that slight readjustment, which is lovely because we're just delighted to see each other. We're delighted to be out and we're delighted to be safe. But it is weird. There is going to be a readjustment.
Yes.
There is going to be a readjustment. But that's lovely.
Congratulations on Great Pottery Throwdown. You were perfect for it. It's as if you were doing it forever.
So.
Yeah, I think, well, that's my opinion. I think you were perfect for it.
Is it because I look like a little teapot?
No. No, it's because you're lovely and warm and engaging.
Oh.
And I'm not just saying that because you're on the phone to us. I mean that. And it just...
thank you.
And this is a word that maybe gets a bad, you know, a bad name, but there was lovely wholesomeness about the whole thing.
Yeah. Like, I'm glad you said that, actually, because... Yeah, there was a whole... Well, I suppose an authenticity is what I like
right,
to think.
Right, okay.
Like, what you saw is what it was.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And it's... The premise of the show, like, it's not... I don't mean to denigrate it by saying it's not rocket science, because what they do is absolutely extraordinary. But essentially what they do is what we... It's Ronsey, Elizabeth. We put a whole load of people into a room and we ask them to make things and they make the things. And then we look at the things and we go, oh, that's nice things.
Yeah.
And that's the end. And then one of the people leaves, you know. So it's very simple and very comforting viewing.
No, but
you
make them feel comfortable when they're nervous, and you make them laugh, and you know. So and it appears effortless to you. So that's So
well, do you know what? I'm a really good liar.
You're a good actor.
I was so nervous.
Yes. Oh, were you? Yeah.
I was fierce nervous. I think I said that
You did.
I was really, really nervous because, like, there's nothing to hide behind. I don't have a character. Siobhan doesn't have a character. But, like, I don't have a role to hide behind or, like, a costume to be hiding behind. So, in a way, I was nervous because you are just being yourself. And you feel I feel very vulnerable around that because you don't want to sort of put yourself up for people being mean or whatever, but I knew that everybody else would be more nervous than I would be, and it was up to me to make them feel okay. So
and you did a great job.
I just lie very well.
And will you be back on it?
I hope so. Yeah. We're scouting for new contestants for the next series, which is really exciting.
Yeah.
So it's just a question.
What was it like doing the play?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, Ray, what was I thinking of? Like, in the middle of a pandemic where everybody's isolated, I decided to do a Samuel Beckett play about a woman who's isolated in her own Groundhog Day, being buried up to her neck in a mound of earth. Like, life imitating art imitating life. It was an insane thing to do, but it was incredibly gratifying. We broadcast it internationally for one night only.
Yeah.
And everybody worked for that one night. And it was the most remarkable experience. Hopefully, in a way, it was a brilliant experience. Hopefully, I'll never have an experience like that again. But the thing about theatre is that you need an audience. And we didn't have an audience.
Yeah.
I mean, we had a virtual audience, but we didn't. Like, you know, the Olympia, it's the most beautiful theatre ever. It's so gorgeous. And to look out on those seats and see, like, theatre only lives when there's somebody alive watching it back and you get the sort of energy back from them. You know what I mean?
Yes,
like,
I do. Yes, yeah, yeah.
They respond and therefore it's completed in a way, you know.
And what was it like when the curtain went down? Because, you know, there's obviously... normally there's, you know, the standing ovation, there's the buzz, there's obviously...
Yeah, normally, yes, absolutely. God, I can't stop them from giving me standing O's.
Oh, they're called standing O's.
You're obviously aware of my work.
They're called standing O's. That's it.
Standing O's.
Standing O's, right, okay. So that must have been very weird then at the end, because it was sort of...
Oh, it was so... And not only that, like, part of the reason I got into acting was for the party. And, you like, the big rap party afterwards. So what happened is that the lights went down, the stage manager counted to 30 and then said, okay, guys, well done, that was fantastic. And there was about 5 people in the huge auditorium, like lighting operators and various camera operators and stuff. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Weird.
Yeah, hollow. Okay. And then I went up to my dressing room. I had a bit of a cry. I changed out of my costume and I went back to the Airbnb. It was so weird. It was so anticlimactic.
Yeah. Now, you're in a new crime thriller, which is a change for you. We'll find out more about that in the future, because we're running out of time here. I do have to ask you about Derry Girls. I know it's obligatory. It's in the contract. I have to ask you about Derry Girls.
It is in the contract.
Yes. So when will we see?
Do you know what? And I will give the same answer that I give all the time. And, like, people think I'm lying. I haven't a clue.
Okay.
We're hoping, it was postponed last year twice. We're hoping to do it before the end of this year.
Right.
Everybody is focusing on getting it done before the end of the year.
I hate you a little bit, Siobhan, because I know where you are and I know what you're going back to. And,
we're not even on the radio now. This is just a conversation. Yeah. Now, everybody can hear how you really feel about me.
Siobhan McSweeney, thanks very much. Enjoy your pint. Go on, see you.
Bye. In the sunshine.
See ya. That's Siobhan McSweeney there. Anish Toshin and the Free Skelton and Noctil Amor de Wallish. Good morning. Thanks very much. Have a great weekend. 51551ray@rt.ie. Brian from Bray was on to say that there was a band from Bray in the 70s called the Bray City Rollers. I think they had to change their name. And on a day off work, and just heard you say that Les from Bay City Rollers has passed away. Such memories have come flooding back, dancing to the disco before whichever band were to play that Saturday night in the Pontoon Ballroom. The Pontoon Ballroom. We love the Bay City Rollers, wore the tartan wrist scarves, bought their singles when we could afford them. He was such a great frontman. Rest in peace, Les, says Angela in Mayo. It's time for our quiz of today. Today being the 23rd of April, the prize, luxurious two-night break in the Heritage, which is set in the heart of the countryside in the pretty village of Killinard, just over an hour's drive from Dublin. You can find out more at theheritage.com. Brian Barry in Cork City, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Ray.
How are things?
Not too bad.
You sound very serious.
I'm a serious person.
Anybody who says I'm a serious person is not a serious person, Brian. So,
all right, okay. I just thought it was.
You've been rumbled. No.
That's okay.
What's your story?
In what way?
Well, maybe you are serious. No, I'm joking. So you're on your way home with the shopping.
Well, I'm home now. I brought the shopping home. I was talking to Emily in the car on the way home.
Okay, so you're yeah. Okay, so is that a big shop or just a weekend shop?
No, just a small shop.
Just a small shop, right.
Two bits and pieces. I really need to get things, but I got a few other bits as well.
Yeah, and are you making dinner tonight or what?
I am.
Chicken curry, right. Do you buy a jar or do you make from scratch?
I make it more or less from scratch, but it's... I have curry powder, but... Everything is made.
Yeah, great. Do you like it hot or...
Reasonably hot, not too hot, because I'm feeding everyone, so some of them don't like it too hot.
Yes, yeah. Who's everyone then?
Well, there's 6 of us. There's 4 children and myself and my wife, Adele.
Okay, and what ages are the children?
20, 17, 14, 12.
Right, that's a full house, isn't it? Busy house.
It is. In fact, my 12-year-old is going to be devastated now because he's always telling me to ring your show when he's here. And today,
What's his name?
He's gone to Wilton with the lads.
What's his name?
Connor.
Hiya, Connor. Just so you can listen to that back on the podcast or whatever.
All right, okay.
So you're a swabber for the HSE.
That's right. Community swabber.
Right. And talk to me about that. How did that come about?
Well, the job I was in, I ran a charity, Gambleware, if you've ever heard of that.
A which?
Gambleware.
Gambleware.
Gamble Aware. We help people who gamble.
Oh, Gamble Aware. Sorry, yes, yes. Yeah. Sorry, sorry. Yeah.
So when the pandemic kind of hit, our funding dried up. So I was put on the pandemic payment.
Yes.
And that wasn't kind of going too far. So what it looked like the pandemic was going to last longer than anticipated. But say when I stopped last April, I was intending to come back to work in kind of July.
Yes.
But when it looked like it was going to last longer, I said I better try and get something to tide me over. So there was these 1-year contracts going with the HSE for community swabber role. So I applied for that and I was lucky enough to be offered a role.
And are you the person who has to stick the thing up the nose?
I am.
Right. How do people react to that, Brian?
Mostly fine. You know, there's no pain involved. I tell everyone that I do the test and I tell there's no pain involved if they just kind of relax. But yeah. Some people are built up to it and they're scrunching up their face and they're kind of making it harder than it needs to be.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's there genuinely is no pain involved.
No.
People just kind of...
Just a discomfort, I suppose.
Discomfort, that's what I say. Slight discomfort, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And are you working the weekend?
I am, tomorrow and Sunday.
What is it, a 5-day week or 7-day?
No, the way we work it is you do... One week you do Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and the next week you do Monday, Tuesday, Saturday, Sunday.
All right, so you're on.
So you're doing either 3 days or 4 days.
Four
and
days.
It's 12-hour shifts except for Sunday, which is 10 to 6.
Okay. Well, you know, it's discomfort, whatever, but it's you're meeting loads of people.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, which is brilliant. Yeah. Because
I'm really enjoying it. I didn't think I would. I thought I was just taking it as a kind of a job to keep me going for the. Well, the pandemic is here, but I'm really enjoying it now.
Great.
There's people working there. You know what I mean? There's a lot of people who are temporarily, you know, pilots and all, like the guy Larry you had on yesterday.
Yes,
you know, he could be a swabber, but we have a couple of pilots up there.
Right, okay.
And all kinds of other people as well.
That's brilliant. You're up against Janet Tyner from Shillelagh in County Wicklow. How are you, Janet?
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Now, is it Jeanette or Janet?
Janet.
And is it Tyner? It is Tyner.
T-Y-N-E-R, yeah.
Yeah,
Tyner.
I never met a Tyner before.
There you go.
You're out for a walk.
I was out for a walk when I called the show, and so I'm just back in the kitchen now.
Right, and on a farm.
Out for my operation transformation walk.
Good stuff. So yourself and your hubby run a farm. What type of farm is it?
It is mainly beef and some sheep.
Okay.
And
what about family?
And we have 3 children. They're all grown up and doing their own thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are they out of the country or?
No, they're in Ireland. But one is a French teacher up in Meath. The other one, actually, my son works for the Irish Cancer Society in Dublin. And my youngest daughter is up in Antrim working there. So.
Right.
So, yeah, they're scattered around, but they're not too far away.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Now, 5 questions each, Brian and Janet. Is Janet all right?
Yes.
Yeah, Janet, yeah. Sorry, because I have a friend, Janet, and then some people are Jeanette. Anyway, Janet. 5 questions each. Whoever answers most correctly gets the prize. If it's a draw, you have. We go to a tie-break situation. Good luck to you both. Here we go.
Okay. Thank you.
Brian, first question for you. On this day in 1343, the St. George's Uprising occurred in Estonia. On what continent would you find Estonia?
I'm going to say Europe.
Is the correct answer. Janet, on this day in 2018, Mario Abdo Benitez was elected president of Paraguay. On what continent would you find Paraguay?
South America.
Correct answer. Brian, second question for you is an audio one. Have a listen to this.
Thank you, mister.
The name's Bond. James Bond.
Ksenia Sergeyevna Onatop.
Onatop?
Onatop.
On this day in 1996 at the 49th BAFTAs, GoldenEye was nominated for a Best Visual Effects Award. Can you name the Irish actor you heard there who played James Bond in the movie?
Pierce Brosnan.
Correct answer. Janet, have a listen to this.
Just one chance to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives. But they'll never take our freedom!
Hey! Still with the 49th BAFTAs on this day in 1996, that film Braveheart won an award for Best Sound. Can you name the actor you heard there who played William Wallace?
Mel Gibson.
Correct answer. Brian, third question for you. On this day in 1861, Arkansas troops seized Fort Smith on the Arkansas River. In total, how many U.S. states begin with the letter A? 3 or 4?
I'm going to guess 3.
It's 4. Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, and Arkansas. Okay, Janet, similar question for you. A chance to go in front. On this day in 1935, Vernice Bunky Green, American jazz saxophonist, was born in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. In total, how many U.S. states begin with the letter W? Three or four?
I will chance three.
It's four. Washington State, Wyoming, West Virginia, and Wisconsin. Okay, so it's two all. On to question four for you, Brian. Have a listen to this. That was number one in 2001. Can you name the group?
Destiny's Child.
Correct, with Survivor. Yes, and for you, Janet, have a listen to this. So, on this day in 1960, Steve Clark, guitarist with that group, was born in Sheffield. Can you name the group?
Leopard?
Yes. Well done. That came from the recesses of your brain. Well, it's there. Okay. Yeah. Brian, final question for you. It's down to our three all. On this day in 1660, the Treaty of Ottawa was established between Sweden and Poland. Which of these countries has a larger population than Poland? Australia, Austria, or Argentina? So which of those has a larger population than Poland, Australia, Austria, or Argentina?
I would go with Argentina.
Poland has a population of 37 million. Argentina has a population of 45 million. So you're correct. Well done. Under pressure, Jeanette. I'm calling you Janet and Jeanette. I'm sorry about that. It's been a long week. Okay. Right. Good luck with this. Get it right. And we're into a tiebreak situation. On this day in 1910, the International Exhibition opened in Brussels, Belgium. Which of these countries has a larger population than Belgium? Switzerland, Syria, or Serbia?
Than Belgium.
Yes. So it's which has a larger population than Belgium, Switzerland, Syria, or Serbia?
I will chance Switzerland.
Switzerland has a population of 8 million. Belgium has a population of 11 million.
Oh,
Syria was what we were looking
Syria.
For.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Jeanette.
Not to worry. I haven't done that in geography. I must be missing that bit.
Yes. They're tricky ones. I think most people, they're just guesses. And if Brian was been honest, he probably would have, he'll admit that he guessed there. We're going to send you out a Ray Darcy Show mug.
Perfect.
Mind yourself, stay safe, and great talking to you. Thanks, Jeanette.
Thank you very
See
much.
You. Bye, right. bye, 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 bye. Brian, well done.
Thank you.
You're on your way to the Heritage.
Brilliant.
For a luxurious two-night break when all this is over. So you can go to theheritage.com to see what's in store for you.
Grand job. Thanks very much.
Have a great weekend. Good luck with the curry. See you. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye, 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 bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
It's a case of David versus Goliath this Sunday as Cartoon Saloon from Kilkenny takes on Disney and Pixar at this year's Oscar ceremony. The stunning hand-drawn Wolfwalkers is up for Best Animated Feature and it's the fifth animation for Kilkenny-based Cartoon Saloon. It stars Sean Bean, who voices Bill Goodfellow, and Kildare's own Eva Whittaker, who has just won an Annie Award for her portrayal of Maeve Og MacTierra. And both of them are on Zoom to us now. Hello, Sean.
Hello, Ray.
Good to talk to you. Really good to talk to you. Yes, he's in Canada. Sean's in Canada. And Eva is all the way down in Kildare. How are you doing, Eva?
I am.
Yes.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Firstly, congratulations on the Annie. Will you tell people what an Annie is?
Oh, yes. So the Annies are the animation awards from ASIFA Hollywood, I think. And I won the best voice acting in a film, which is just, it's crazy, I know.
Yeah, well, no, it's well deserved.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, they don't give them out just, isn't it, Sean? They don't give them out ad hoc willy-nilly.
I haven't got one.
No.
I've never got one. But congratulations, you deserve it. Yeah. Great.
And Sean, you don't do a lot of voiceovers for animations. Is this your first one?
It's the first one that I've done where I've actually seen it. I think I've done some others, but I don't know what's happened to them a couple of years ago. But this is it's quite strange, really, because you kind of forget who's who, because we don't really see each other. We just hear each other. And, this was a particularly, joyous animation to work on with Tom and Ross and Anna and Eva. They're all just these wonderful characters all together in this lovely house. And we had a great time, and I'm so happy.
I suppose when you get a call from somebody and says, "How are you? We're ringing here. We've been nominated for 4 Oscars in the past. Would you be interested in working with us?"
The success that it's had is obviously very well deserved, but to think that they're up for an Oscar on Sunday is absolutely fantastic. Right. I'm so proud so proud of it.
You're at the right side of the Atlantic to watch it in real time, but it's going to be a little bit more tricky for you, Eva. So what's the plan?
It's all virtual this year, but I think they've planned a small event for the directors so that they can accept virtually if they were to win. But, I'll just be waiting like everyone else for the result to come in, and I'll have my fingers crossed.
And will you stay up for it?
I'm actually not too sure, but I will keep an ear out on Monday to see.
Right. Yeah. Wouldn't that be amazing, Eva, if it won an Oscar?
Yeah, it would be really amazing if they won. I'd love it. Like you said, it is their 5th Oscar nomination, so I'd really love it to be the year they win, because they really deserve to.
Yeah. Soul, it's a tough competition, very tough competition. Yeah. Sean, just you're over in Canada shooting Snowpiercer. Yeah.
That's right, yes. It's about 9 o'clock. What time is it? It's about 8:20 in the morning. I've just had a shower and got a coffee on the go. So, yeah, it's early morning for me, yeah. It's all right, yeah.
But your character, Bill Goodfellow, is a sort of benevolent enough character, isn't he? Unlike a lot of the parts you play.
I suppose he is, yes. He's a very kind... He's a very big man, isn't he? I'm not quite as big as that. Well, just watch him. He's a massive bloke. He's a kind man, and he's just someone who's following orders. He's just getting along with things. It's up there to destroy the wolves, but unfortunately he's part of an army that are not very good for the people. The Lord Protector is not a very good man, and he's causing a lot of mayhem and terror in the country. So he's just following orders, but he's actually a good man. He's got a good heart. He loves his daughter, and he finally comes to the realization that there's something out there that does exist, which is quite magical. So,
So there you are in your early 60s, Sean Bean, after making a career out of acting. And you've been in, Sharp was there, Game of Thrones, you've done so much over the years. Yeah. And here's Eva starting off. So what do you say to Eva? What sagely words of wisdom can you pass on to her?
She's got quite a lot of wisdom already. She's really on the ball, but just keep on doing what you're doing, because you're wonderful in what you do, and just be true to yourself. You're very welcome.
Yeah, because you in a lot of your parts you hold on to your accent, Northern England accent.
Yeah, most of the time.
I had this chat with somebody, I can't remember who, but it's obviously easier to act if you're using your own accent. Not easier, but it's one less thing to worry about.
It is, yes. Yeah. You can just get on with it. In Snowpiercer that I'm doing over here now, I'm very posh English man, not very nice.
Mr. Wilford,
horrible. Yeah, Mr. Yeah. Joseph Wilford. And so I quite enjoy that. So there's a lot of characters, back in the UK, and politicians especially, that I can kind of identify with. not identify with the politics, but the way they speak.
Yeah,
there's a lot of... there's a lot of stuff to be found there. But you know, unless there's a real need to change the accent, then I just do my own. But yeah. I obviously change it when it's required or if it's for a particular part.
Of course, yeah. And Maeve Og MacTierra, what did you draw on, Eva, to play that part?
Sorry, you kind of lagged out there. Okay. What did you say?
I suppose you were just being yourself. You're channeling your very energetic self into Maeve Og MacTierra.
Yeah, definitely. Especially at the time.
Yes.
I was really, I suppose, enthusiastic towards Maeve. So I think that came across in the voice, which is really suiting to her.
Yeah. And what about your classmates in Skull on Linn of Iasa in Prosperous?
Yeah, my friends are really excited for me. They're really rooting for Wolfwalkers, but the teachers as well. They've come up to me in the corridor in school to congratulate me and to wish Wolfwalkers luck. Yeah. But my own teacher actually is from Kilkenny, so, you know, she's kind of seen all the artwork that's been up around the place. And when we were doing online school, she was showing everyone in my class all the artwork that was put up. That was really great to see.
Well, listen, great talking to you. Sean Bean, thanks so much for taking time out of your obviously very busy.
It's a pleasure. Nice to talk to you. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, there's a request here. Sorry, but just before you go, Sean, could you please ask Sean to wish my mother, Vernie McCabe, in Carrickmacross a happy birthday ahead of her 80th birthday this June. She never misses Sharp on Drama Channel and loves Sean from Orla McCabe.
Yeah, Bernie, yes.
Yeah.
Hello, Bernie, and happy 80th birthday. Hope you're keeping well, and I'm glad you like Sharp, so keep on watching.
Bernie obviously loves a man in uniform, Sean.
I'm glad you like the man in uniform. Yeah. That's me.
Listen, good luck on Sunday night. Wolfwalkers nominated for the fifth time for Cartoon Saloon, up against Seoul, and we'll all have our fingers crossed and hope for the best. Fifth time lucky. Thanks, Sean. Great talking to you. Thank you.
Thanks, Ray.
See you, Eva.
Thanks, Anna.
Good luck. See you.
Bye.
Lovely. Eva Whittaker is just a ball of energy there. Now, in a kitchen somewhere on the Leash Carlow Offaly Kildare Monaghan border is Jack L. How are you doing, Jack?
How you doing, Ray?
Oh, you're still there. Great. You're still there.
I cut the grass in between there.
Dez has been on. Great to hear Jack L on the radio. Will you thank him for the lockdown sessions? They've been brilliant. We were talking a bit about it at the start, but you took the initiative because you had to be proactive, didn't you, Jack?
Oh, yeah, because I mean, just sitting around, you know, it's bad for you just sitting around, of course. So it was just, I just find if you keep your head busy, just keep doing things, that's the best thing you can do in this situation, especially as a musician, even if it's stuff nobody will ever hear, just create it. And thankfully, people tune in every Saturday night. As I said, the next one's next weekend, May the 1st. So.
All right. And they'll hear Facebook something like you're going to perform for us now. What are you going to sing for us?
They will indeed. Well, I'll do this one for you. It's for the weekend. It's called, it's a weekend song. It's called The King of Soho.
Brilliant. Jack L, ladies and gentlemen.
When I get to the river, when I get to the river, I'm going to be a rich, rich man. Well, long time coming, big time is here. The future looks bright, yeah, the coast seems clear. Long time coming, yeah, 10 long years, but there's a light at the end of the tunnel I hear singing. I'm the king of Soho. Everybody knows I'm the king of Soho. Everybody knows I get so lonely when I get to the river. When I get to the river, I'm gonna be a rich, rich man. When I get to the river, when I get to the river, I'll marry my Queen of Africa, Queen of Africa. Well, long time coming, yeah, listen to me. I got friends everywhere from the streets of Malacca down to Camden Street, yeah. You see me coming, crown on my head, set through my hair, still smoking, still cut red. So ho, everybody knows I'm the king of Soho. Everybody knows I get so lonely when I get to the river. When I get to the river, I'm gonna be a rich, rich man. When I get to the river, when I get to the river, I'll marry my queen of Africa, queen of Africa. Long time coming, yeah. They tried to break me, push my face near the Caspian Sea. Long time coming, I can hear it faintly. I'm the king of Soho, Soho. Everybody knows I'm the king of Soho. Everybody knows. When I get to the river, when I get to the river, I'm gonna be a rich, rich man. When I get to the river, when I get to that river, I'll marry my queen of Africa. Thanks for having me, Ray.
Ah, thanks, Jack. Look, before you go,
made the kitchen,
yeah, the kitchen session, the kitchen session. Yeah, the first one. Thanks so much for doing it for us. Colette and Leash has been on. Could you tell Jack that when my father was in getting petrol in Lukeman's garage in a Thai one evening, that Jack's father brought him in to listen to the young Jack sing, as he said he was a great singer and he'd be famous someday. Hope the story is true because my dad has passed away now. He always told a story when Jack was on the TV or the radio. The great singer and fame part was right anyway. Best wishes, Colette. Could that be true?
That could be true. That could be true. I was always singing. Yeah, it's always. And loads always been doing it.
Loads more lovely texts coming in about your lockdown sessions. May the 1st is the next one. And we'll talk to you at the other side and you'll be in here in person. But for the moment, Jack L, our first kitchen session. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jack
L,
thank you. Tomorrow night, I'm chatting to Marion Keyes as part of the Court International Festival of Literature. And it's on at 8 o'clock. And if you go to Court, you'll find out how you can be in the audience. It's a virtual audience, of course. Cormac and Sarah on the way. We are back on Monday. Thanks to everybody. A lot of work today. So thanks very much to Niamh and to Ciarán and to Fiona upstairs and everybody who worked on the show. We're back on Monday. Enjoy your weekend. Whatever you're doing, do it safely.
It's the Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.